anyone in a role-playing game. This is how it works. There are four rooms. We have one room down here. We have three rooms upstairs. And we've shanghaied some volunteers to help me get you up there. The media. Hate them.
Fake news.
Right! I'm not quite sure how to do this, so... Well, no.
You're used to the show, then?
Yes, yeah. I've maybe started listening maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and I'm kind of catching up on backlog of things. So.
You know the intro, then? So I can say, welcome among... Zero list.
No, of course.
Let's go again.
Okay, let's try that again. Okay.
Welcome among
the released
Dragon Meat 2017, and I'm in the podcast zone.
Hello.
With
Stuart.
Pleased to meet you, Stuart. And you are like the incarnation of what the podcast zone is about. You're a listener to say to a podcaster, a very lucky podcaster, how much you enjoy their show. I'm so thankful for you to show up today.
No, my pleasure. It's my first time at Dragon Meat. Again, one of the reasons was I actually listened to quite a lot of the podcasters who are in the podcast zone. And I just wanted to come up and say how much I appreciated it. As I said to you earlier, particularly the interview with James Willis and the episodes on Nephilim. I found those really interesting, really engaging. And also, I love the style. I love the relaxedness of it. It just very much feels like you're just having a chat and usually eating or drinking something at the same time, particularly that James Wallace.
The James Wallace thing is a formula we're going to try to reproduce. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, at some point game designers will be, they will be looking forward to be invited and being fed.
Well, that strudel did sound delicious.
So it's your first time
to
Dragon Meat. What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to... I've signed up for a game of Dungeon World with Ben Moxon, who is from the Coody Drawn Swords podcast.
I think you're going to play with Persephilia, my wife.
Excellent. Cool. I shall look forward to that. So I've signed up for that. About 10 minutes ago, played a game called Fable, which is like a short collaborative storytelling game. It's a card game where you're using letters and... I played that in the hall over there, and that was good fun. That was like 10 minutes.
We just started and you already played something.
Yeah, I know. It was. I arrived and then 20 minutes later, I strolled along and got chatting to a guy in a funny hat. We just got chatting about the game and said, do you want to play? So yeah, we had it was only about 5 or 6 minutes long. If you've got more players, obviously it takes a bit longer, but it was just the two of us playing. I love collaborative story games. I really enjoy that. I love building up. Was it Munchausen you were playing with James Wallace? I loved that. That game appeals to me no end, because I love building up and also quite like improvising stuff and riffing on the spot and things like that. So
I don't know if you noticed, but James Wallace is here today, so he's got a booth. You can go talk to him in person.
I will. I shall go and fanboy at him. I'm trying really hard not to be a huge fanboy already with people on the podcasts. But
I mean, that's one of the charms of Dragon Meat. Yeah, there's so many designers here, and they're very approachable. So you should not hesitate to go see James, Robin D. Laws, whatever game you're interested in.
I'd forgotten that Robin D. Laws was here, and that's even, I mean... Well, he's one of the legends, really, of the podcasting community. Not podcasting, role-playing game community. But
podcasting also, he's got several Eddie Awards for Ken and Robin Talk.
Oh, of course he does. Yes, of course. I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah. No, I'm just looking forward to meeting people, catching up with some friends, making some new ones, playing lots of stuff, and probably later on getting horrendously drunk.
Well, you're definitely in the right place. And if I could make just one last recommendation, we've got a formal gamer there, and they're going to record 10 to 15 minutes mini role-playing games.
Oh, nice.
So you should definitely go check on them play one of their games. And people listening to you right now can check the Formal Gamer own show, and they probably hear you playing on their show.
Ooh, they're very... No, I'll look forward to that.
Great, thank you.
No, my pleasure.
Start over. Completely.
Excellent.
I'm here in the zone, completely overwhelmed with the sheer number of podcasters, streamers. There's been a wave of people looking to join their table, people yelling which table was which. Never mind, I'm here with two YouTubers, I think. Am I right? Who are you?
I'm Thirsty from Baylor's Blades. I play Grenmore Stoatfeet. I also play quite a few other characters on our own Twitch channel, but I'm not here for that. So that, I think I'm sworn to silence.
And you are?
I'm AJ from Sword Coast Soundscapes. I make soundscapes and ambiences for playing D&D with.
Really good one. Listeners of the Rollies podcast, I've heard your work.
Yeah, you've used them once or twice, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of times for the James Wallace. I use your Tivern playlist for as the background noise for a game of Baron of Munchausen.
Yeah.
So how did you start at Sword Coast Soundscapes?
I work in the film industry, so I make sound effects for films and stuff anyway. And I was making some ambiences and backgrounds for one of the films, and I thought, I'll just make a 3-hour version of this and upload it so we can use it in games. It was originally just for my games with my mates and stuff. But then I thought I'd make them public, and yeah, everyone started liking it.
Do you think you could use the soundscapes of AJ on your show?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we don't currently, but we are always looking for music to use and soundscapes and backgrounds and things like that, because, you know, we've only been going sort of a year. Baylor, who runs the game that I'm here for, I'm not sure what he uses, because he never actually talked to me about it, but I mean, I understand that he uses quite a lot of sort of backgrounds and music and things like that, but I'd actually be quite interested in using it for my games, yeah. I mean, because at the moment I don't, and I think we kind of lose out from that quite heavily.
Where are you two from?
I'm actually from Brighton.
Nice.
Down the sunny south coast, which is currently not very sunny, but, you know, that's the way it goes. But you?
I'm from Swansea in South Wales, so probably opposite ends of the country, really. Whereas, I don't even know where Brighton is.
Well,
southeast?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Well, south, no. It's that thing beyond Croydon, right?
Yeah, it's one of those other parts of the world, you know. You know, far off where there are hills and things, you know. But, you know, so it's nice to see that, you know, we can have three people from such different places standing together being geeks.
How did it start at Baylor's Blade?
Baylor's Blade actually started with my business partner, Blood, got asked to do a voice because she was previously on an Encounter roleplay show. And he asked for voices, and she went, I know someone who can do accents and silly voices. So I came along and didn't do any voices or accents. I instead adopted the persona of Grenmore Stoatfeet, which is essentially just me being slightly more posh. And he doesn't really like you, all this magic stuff. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I sort of get pulled into it, and every so often we just sort of make fun of Baylor being from New Orleans, so he gets sort of very common English words wrong. You know, we have a lot of fun sort of joking about suspenders, particularly, because for some reason he's decided that everyone in fantasy worlds wears braces, and it doesn't translate very well. Really, really doesn't. When you walk into a room and there's an authoritarian man wearing pants and suspenders, and we go, are you sure about that? That's sort of where most of it sort of comes from. And also he has a wonderful tendency to say banana, which, when you're going to the banana bazaar, gets, well, repetitive and hilarious. We just break down. I sort of got pulled onto it through friends, and now I kind of want to dedicate my life to it.
AJ, what are you looking the most forward to at Dragon Meet? Is it your first time?
Yeah, it's my first time here. I didn't even know about it until you asked me about it. Yeah, just try and promote my channel, really. I'm going to try and hit up a few developers and see if they want CDs made to go with their games that they're putting out and stuff like that. I thought that'd be quite a cool thing to add, some Kickstarter or something.
A good idea. I mean, you've got a lot of people are very approachable around here.
Yeah.
If you're interested, people who have been working quite a bit with their soundscapes, and even the music for their games is the team of Shadows of Esrin.
Right.
Which is a French game, but they were very early, they released it in English. And they're downstairs, and they're very friendly to chat with.
Yeah, cool.
Great. Any other word?
None from me.
Oh, when I mentioned my business partner, Blood, most people actually know her as Valonda. Everywhere else she is, apart from when she's playing games with me. So, just so people sort of have a little sort of a continuation on that one. It's a. She actually just has two names.
Okay. What are you looking forward to the most today?
What I'm looking for, I'm just sort of looking to throw a lot of business cards at people, get them looking at the stuff that we do, because, you know, we've only been doing it sort of a year, and we've been doing it very quietly because we haven't released anything yet. Well, we've released streams and things like that, but the game that we're actually wrote and are working on ourselves hasn't been released yet.
Oh, so you're releasing an actual game?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
We're releasing a multi-platform game system, which eventually... It's called Spiced, and eventually we will be bringing out the books. And I'm sorry, shall I hold that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, we shall in fact be bringing out books and splat books and world. And we've built the settings already, but it's got to the point where we're starting to sort of come to the where we're looking for art for books, and that hasn't quite happened yet. And we don't want to release in a loose leaf PDF sort of style with no art, because let's face it, that's not what people are looking for. In the meantime, I get my fiance to do all our artwork, and. I come here and get people to play our games so that, you know, they know what they're looking for.
One familiar face! Hello!
Hello! I'm James Wallace. I'm still James Wallace, though I did wake up one morning recently and wonder who the hell I was.
Wasn't that recently?
It wasn't that recently, but that was a splendid evening.
Took me a long time to release that.
It did, but worth it, I think. I listened back to that and went, did I really say that?
I hope you don't have any regrets.
It's life's too short for regrets.
Yeah, about that evening, two things.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing, I'm very thankful for that interview. People are very happy with the result. I'm very happy with the result.
I'm very happy with the result.
And the second thing, I forgot to make a plug for something in there.
Ah.
So I had the idea of making you a little gift today.
Wow. Do you want me to open this on microphone?
Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, I'm going to
I hold the microphone.
Okay, I will listen to the sound of opening presents. It's the Saragossa manuscript. Oh, fantastic.
Do you know that?
I do. I don't have a nice edition of it, though. This is gorgeous. Thank you so much. What a fantastic book this is.
So it's a manuscript found in Saragossa. It's very nice, the vibe of Baron of Munchausen, I find.
Yes, it's stories and stories within stories and misremembering stuff. It's wonderful. I mean, it's an absolute classic. Thank you so much. That's incredibly kind. Can I give you something in return in the spirit of Christmas? Let me give you a copy of Las Vegas, my new role-playing game.
Well, congratulations for releasing it.
It's 4 years in the making, 4 years since the Kickstarter. It's finally out.
I seize the opportunity to give a little shout-out to a gentleman who expressed some frustration following me sharing the episode, saying that, he regretted that Las Vegas was not out. That's a great news that it's out. Can you tell us... Yeah. I kept interrupting your plugs on the show, so you are all plugs today. So what are your plugs?
Okay, it's a role-playing game. Actually, it's four different role-playing games with one shared set of mechanics in which you play characters with amnesia. So you start off with a blank character sheet. But any time in the game you need an ability, you just say, okay, I remember having this ability. I have a flashback to my previous life of me using this ability. So you get the ability, but you also get part of the jigsaw of who you were before. So each campaign is two stories. There's the story that's happening now in the game and the story of who you were and how it leads up to the point where the game starts. So Las Vegas is set in this nightmarish casino city. You start off in a shallow grave in the desert, naked, with a bunch of other people with amnesia. And you have to work out what the hell is going on and where your clothes are. You get the clothes fairly quickly. You don't spend the entire game naked. I could do a game where you spend the entire game naked. That would be fun. So there's a Las Vegas, but you also get a whole bunch of articles by people like Robin Laws and Ken Height on how to play the game and similar games. You get... what else do you get? You get Yet Already by Gareth Hanrahan, which uses the Fugue system for a time-traveling thing. You get Warlock Kings by Alan Varney and John Stone Metzger, which is high fantasy. You all play reanimated paladins working for the Dark Lord. And that's not a spoiler. That's the opening of the session. Remembering Cosmic Man by Jérôme Larrey and Laurent Devernay, two brilliant French designers, in which you are both a bunch of superheroes and also the police investigating them, which is really smart design. It's really clever. The thing about Fugue Games, Fugue Adventures, is they all complete in four sessions, and then they're over, and you leave the characters there. It's like a novel. It's like a film. It's not like a role-playing game. Too many role-playing games are like soap operas. They're just open-ended. This is, you're done at the end of it, which means that as you play along, your characters can get f***ed up. They can get, you know, really badly wounded. They can lose eyes. They can, you know, but they will get to the, as long as they get to the end of the adventure, they've essentially won. I'm really pleased with it. I think it's the best thing I've ever designed.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
Genuinely, I wouldn't have spent 4 years on it if I didn't think I was doing my best work. Amazing artwork from John Coulthard and Dennis Detwiller and John Kovalik, who has contributed a new comic strip which appears in the in-game newspaper within Vegas, the casino city. It's £20 in softcover. It'll be out on, probably by the time you hear this, listeners, it'll be out on DriveThruRPG, RPG Now, and all the rest of it.
Incredible. I mean, I promised to some podcasters a game based on their show, and one of them is called The Green Korean, and the other is Octopus Caveman, and The Green Korean's got a show based on Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So that would be perfect. It's called Faces and Aces, so...
Very cool.
I would try to have an online game and record it with them. That would be actually very, very appropriate.
Wow. Yeah, I think it would fit. Well, of course, I think it would fit brilliantly. But yeah, no, it's been extensively playtested with a bunch of really good people. The feedback was all good. Like I say, it's not your standard style of role-playing game. It uses rotating GMs, so there's a different GM for every session, so every session has a different style and tone, which is intentional. It uses tarot. The core mechanic is you play blackjack with tarot cards, and every tarot card that you play, so you're playing to get hands of 21, but at the same time, the imagery on each tarot card feeds into the narrative. So, you know, you'll take the picture and take elements from it to interpret what is going on in the thing. It's a fast and dirty narrative system.
Any plans for custom tarot cards?
Possibly, yeah. Well, for the launch event, we've done a limited print of all the tarot cards, the major arcana, that we commissioned for the book by John Coulthard.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
And we may do that as a limited edition deck. I need to talk to John about it.
Yeah, that would be great.
They're absolutely stunning. So far as I can tell, nobody has ever done a Vegas tarot deck, and that's a major omission.
You could even use them for one of my favorite games, Nephilim.
Oh, yeah, that would fit really nicely.
Because the arcana are based on the tarot card. I don't know if you say that. In French, we call that blades. A card is called a blade, lame. So I don't know if it translates to English. Apparently not. So.
I don't think so, no. But then the French attitude to tarot is very different to the English attitude. I remember going into a petrol station in France, and there was a tarot deck that you could just, next to the playing cards, and you could just buy a tarot deck because you play tarot as a card game. Whereas over here, that's unknown. Over here, tarot cards are primarily thought of as a thing you use for fortune telling.
So what do you think of the evolution of Dragon Meat, the version this year from the very first one you helped set up?
Oh, the very first one. I think Ian was there as well. Do you know Ian Sturrock of Serpent King Games?
The second one, I think. I think you did the first one without me. I think I made it to the second one, but I could be wrong.
Yes, Ian used to be trade liaison in the very early days. The first Dragon Meet was in Conway Hall in Red Lion Square in Holborn. It was about 600 or 700 people, that was it, because we didn't know if there was an audience for a role-playing event in London in the year 2000.
Well, it turns out there is.
There is. This is huge. I am so happy that it's this big, buzzing, exciting show now. I haven't even been upstairs yet. I don't know what it's like up there. But the trade hall is packed.
I'm going to ask a few questions to Yen because people from the Royalist have heard already James for more than 2 hours now.
Well, he's very loquacious, though. He's a good speaker, so it's understandable. Yes, hello.
Hello, who are you? Can you hold the microphone?
Oh, certainly, yes. Sorry, I'm being very lazy there, aren't I? Ian Sturrock, and I run Serpent King Games, and I also teach game design and game studies. If you ever need to know how to do a Marxist interpretation of Sonic the Hedgehog, then I can help you write that essay.
Oh, I love Sonic the Hedgehog.
Fantastic. It's all about the base and the superstructure and the kind of constant conflict between the working classes. Serpent King Games. So I believe this was popular in France. I mean, I'm guessing that Rollist is suggesting you may be a French podcast.
Yes and no. We are a proudly London-based show.
I see, from the T-shirts.
My first language is French, but I was born in Belgium, but I'm a proud Londoner now.
Fantastic.
And the show is about crossing the channel, so yeah, Dragon Warriors?
Okay, so this came out in 1985 in a tiny paperback edition, basically off the back of the old Fighting Fantasy game book. Somebody thought, okay, that's a gap in the market. Why don't we release a role-playing game in the same format and catch all those kids who are playing Warlock of Firetop Mountain. And I love it. I played it then as a teenager, and I fell in love with it because it had all the things I loved about fantasy. I stopped playing D&D and started playing this instead 30 years ago because I felt, okay, I've got Robin of Sherwood, I've got classic 80s low fantasy sort of stuff dripping with folklore where hobgoblins are feared creatures because they can sour your milk or make your cows cursed or something like this, rather than having 1d plus 1 hit dice. I just went away from D&D and into this, and I'm so pleased and proud to be helping republish it many years later. Although James did really relaunch that about 10 years back. He chatted with Dave Morris, rather, of the original Dragon Warriors authors, and got it back into print. James decided he was getting out of role-playing again about 6 years ago, and I took over. We keep publishing it to this day. We've got a range of adventures, and I still love it, basically. I keep publishing it because it's my favorite game.
What would be your favorite adventures? I see you've got different books here.
Yeah, I think either the first or the second one, which would be... they're both collected in the Sleeping Gods campaign book these days.
They form a campaign together? There's a connection?
Whoa, well, Dragon Warrior's adventures tend to be quite short in terms of word count, but long in terms of fun, because it's a very simple game system. So we'll fit a complete campaign into one adventure book. So there's a 7-part campaign, which is called Sleeping Gods, but it's only one book to buy it, you know. So, yeah, you'll get probably 20 evenings of play out of that. So, yeah, good value.
But good value, nice.
I don't know, it just, for me, it lets you concentrate on the atmosphere and the role-playing, I know it's cliche, rather than constantly worrying about how many hits something has and this kind of thing.
Awesome. I need to give it a try someday.
Fantastic. You should do that. Yeah. Well, I bet the RPG Haven guys probably run it.
John Kovalik is going to be signing his new Munchkin cards in the foyer in the upstairs gaming hall. So that's John Kovalik is now signing cards and anything else, body parts, t-shirts, whatever you like. In the foyer of the gaming hall, also from 11 o'clock and 3 p.m. this afternoon.
And the hall empties, right?
Yeah, so apparently Jim Skovalik is signing everything. So if you've got an old kettle or a pair of pants, he's there for you.
He's such a nice guy.
Anything to add to the attendees or people who are not lucky to be with us today?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, come back next year. I mean, Dragon Warriors is so much fun. And I like it from the perspective of there's a lot of gaming and stuff going on. And then if it's all too much because it's full of people, you can go and sit in the bar. You know, it's in a nice big hotel. It's fantastic. Okay. Love
Thank
to
you
meet
very
you,
much.
Callum.
Thanks. Thanks.
Mink has done Christmas crackers.
Christmas crackers?
Role-playing Christmas crackers.
Tell me about your Christmas crackers. Who are you?
My name is Minka. I'm a game designer. And
I'm very sorry. People are very lazy on that booth because I need to hold a microphone for them.
Oh, I'm sorry. My hands were full. Okay. Yeah, so these Christmas crackers, like the normal Christmas dinner Christmas crackers, inside each one there is a character sheet for a Christmassy themed either. So there's Gingerbeard, the gingerbread dwarf, and a living snowman.
Did you say a gingerbread dwarf?
Yeah.
Not a dwarf gingerbread.
Well, could be either. Could be both.
Well, there's one which is a nice, sweet piece of ginger shaped like a dwarf. The other one is I guess would be like dwarf bread.
Oh,
Pratchett.
That's a good point. Yeah, like it's probably gingerbread dwarf. Dwarf gingerbread is probably going to break your teeth a bit, but in a Christmassy way. So.
And who are you? What are you doing here beside sending Xmas crackers?
Yeah, I just wanted to make an RPG game. So, and I've been kind of like playing as many RPG games as I can recently to try and almost like study. Like the way I learn how to make a game is to just play loads of them. So after a year's worth of just intensively playing every kind of role-playing game I could get my hands on, this is my first one that I've made. So
great,
yeah.
Awesome.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to clown. I don't care what the people are thinking. I'm not drunk, I'm just a janker. I set them up, another round. I set them up, another round. I set them up, another round. One more round won't get me down. Full of lush, my babe began to fuss, and I said, honey, honey, I don't care what the people are thinking. I'm not drunk, I'm just drinking. I set him up another round. I set him up another round. I set him up another round. One more. Tomorrow night so we can drink some more. I don't care what the people are thinking. I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinking. I said more, another round. I said more, another round. I said more, another round. One more round won't get me down.
Like the closest two cast member here, and you're representing the rest. You are the angel. You are the most talked about topic.
Just make sure both of you, when you speak, you don't have to be close at
Hello.
The same time, but you need to be close to the microphone.
Right.
Okay. I am no joined. Oh, that's a nice t-shirt. The back to the podcast zone. I'm here with
Kat Tulip from Pocket Mimic Podcast. I also have today, because the rest of the cast can't be here, I have my sister, the Angel.
Hello.
So she's representing the rest of the boys.
Okay, you're on the show too?
I'm not on the show as a voice, but I've managed to kind of wangle my way in there. I think I mentioned in most episodes.
She's a topic of conversation. They seem to prefer the Angel over me. They keep wanting to try and bring her on, but...
I think the deal is, should anything happen to Kat, then I am in the wings... waiting, you know, if she had a nasty fall down the stairs or...
You know, helped by someone, obviously.
Something like that. I mean...
It's interesting that you said that, because the last episode I listened to, Kat disappeared before the end of the episode.
I did definitely disappear, and that could have been one of those moments.
Could have been. I want to just make it clear, I was not even in the area at the time. That was nothing to do with me this time.
You dropped the ball. I mean, there's no other way to say that. That was your moment, and you dropped the ball.
Take my place.
Sal will be disappointed with me. But, you know, preventing her having donuts, generally just picking on her, that's the kind of role I play.
Being the bane of my life as one of my players in my D&D campaign, you probably, you know, I talk about them a lot, but, you know, this is the difficult player who goes out of her way to overtly roleplay and make things awkward.
Because my character is difficult and awkward, I am not. It's really hard for me to roleplay a character that is so difficult... because I am such a lovely person in real life.
The Angel.
So what is Pocket Mimic about? Is it actual play? Is it discussion?
It's
is it
a discussion. We do have an actual play podcast run by Vince now called The World of Arcanis, which is done through Pocket Mimic, part of our family. But we have two shows. We have the Pocket Mimic podcast main show, which is... it's world building, it's tips and advice to use in your games, it's group collaboration to come up with encounters... we deal with sort of GM tips, so like the kind of things that you might come across. We have a fireside chat, so we deal with these sort of different things. Like last week we talked about alignments and how that's constrains the players, and you know, different advice and things you can do. We basically kind of go, these are the rules, but make it up as you go along. And then we have the After Dark show, which is one of our members, Zach, largely runs. We do encounters, we do homebrew weapons, we do takes on interesting... So it's things that we've discovered as DMs that, you know, interesting things to come up with, like magic weapons. Magic weapons are so, you know, overpriced. You don't want the players to have them in the shop. So we kind of look at what other things we can do. And so it's kind of just our advice to other people on what we've discovered as being DMs. And it's basically just four of us sit around, we have a chat, we brainstorm together, and then we pick on Zach.
And it's a very British show.
No, it's that, well, the rest of the cast are American.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I couldn't tell.
No, I know they do such good British accents when they pull them out of the bag. They do terrible British accents. So it's predominantly American, but I add that kind of, you know, the British element to the whole show. And then we, again, pick on Zach. That's a big focus of our shows.
It's pretty much why Zach was allowed to join the show.
Well, I mean, he was hanging outside the studios and we kept stepping over him every day, occasionally kicking him. And then Vince said I couldn't keep kicking him anymore and we probably should bring him in. We've given him a little cupboard. He hangs out with Bob. It's very, very good.
I was under the impression that Zach was Bob.
Is that?
Can you confirm?
Well, you know, that's not something we're actually able to legally say. But let's just say Bob and Zach are never seen in the same room together.
That's what I thought.
How did you get started with tabletop RPG?
Well, most of my friends, as I'm growing up, have played D&D, so I've known a lot of RPG players. Weirdly, didn't actually get into D&D for years until my other half wanted to run. He wanted a D&D game for his birthday, and he was all like, "Oh, I don't know if I should do it. It's a lot of work for everyone else." And so I put my foot down. When I put my foot down, things happen, and the upshot of it was, well, if you put your foot down and I'm playing the game, you're playing in it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this D&D thing. I'm not sure it's for me. Turns out it was totally for me. And then, you know, things grew from there. Didn't play D&D for a little while. I played some D10 systems. So I played some White Wolf. Then didn't play for a little while. And when we started watching Critical Role, we were like, do you know what? Watching is great, but it's just not the same as playing it. So we all built characters. We were going to take it in turns. Me, Charlie, my other half were going to take it in turns to run a little game. I did one and they were like, you're being a DM from now on. You are our DM. That's your job now. And then that was, what, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And from there, just then I met the community, met some awesome people. Vince then invited me to join the show, which I don't know if that was the best choice he'd made or the worst choice he's made. But from there, it's just... now I'm kind of here with all these awesome people.
Well, personally, the episode where you were gone before the end, the quality really dropped once you were gone.
I mean, I know. But between me and you, you know, everybody loves Kat. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a hashtag love for Kat out there.
Yeah, there is. But for me personally, that last little bit of the show was like my favourite bit of all the shows so far.
That might be because you hear too much of my voice anyway.
That could be why. That could be why.
Did you start role-playing games around the same time?
No. So I was really... I'm a gamer, so a computer gamer. For years I've gamed, but I've always sort of stayed away from D&D. I'll be honest, I had that kind of negative idea of sort of D&D not really being my thing. I was like, oh, I'm way too cool for that. And then I played D&D.
Yeah, you should play Vampire the Masquerade. It's way cooler.
Well, we did...
It's quite cool.
Because we did White Wolf, didn't we? We did a session on that. And like the first game I played, I was like, this is amazing. This is the most incredible thing I've ever done. It's better than computer games. It's like computer games without a computer.
There's no upgrade. I mean, I bought a game. I had to wait an hour for the patch to download. So.
Yeah, it is. And you're with people. It's so much more sociable because you're sat around a table. You know, it's just really fun. And then when Kat suggested that maybe we'd play a game, I was like, right, I'm buying dice, I'm buying the books, I got everything before we even started rolling. And that was it, pretty much.
Before we'd even start rolling, you'd written your character, you designed her, and you know her entire life story.
Yeah, it's true. And I have more dice than I think a character needs, just because.
That's not possible. There's never enough dice.
Well, I roll really badly, so for me, I'm on the quest to find that set of dice that rolls crits every time.
Maybe you need to train some dice. Maybe you need to invest time in a set of dice.
We've said this, that she needs to actually invest time. See, I've got a couple of pairs of sets of dice that, you know, they roll really well, but we've got an understanding. You also need to maybe... there's God, dice of gods, you need sacrifices. It's very complex. Kill some players, apparently, that helps.
You need to find your thing. Either I knock them when they roll bad, I knock them on the table, like a little punishment. Some people's got a jail for their dice.
We had a dice jail for a while. It was the Fortress of Solitude for our dice.
And a podium for the D20s. Because, you know, you want to make sure the dice understand that a D20, it gets a little special extra thing
from it. I just found that all my dice ended up in the dice jail, and then I had no dice to roll with, so it hasn't really worked. I've been told I should rub them and talk to them. Apparently that works.
Yeah, I think you should. I think yeah, you need to move on to another method if the punitive approach doesn't work.
Although, as your DM, I thoroughly, thoroughly encourage you to roll craply all the time.
Which is interesting, because as your player, I encourage you to roll badly all the time, unless it's an NPC that's on our side, in which case, all the crits.
And ironically, the NPCs on their side always roll really shit, but the monsters always roll really, really well.
It's true, it's true.
I like your put my foot down approach to thing, and there's something which is not quite happening yet, and I was wondering if I could get you involved in the thing a bit. There's this team of tabletop developers in France called Agathe Edition, and they do Shadows of Esteron. And in France, they're publishing right now their take on Dungeons & Dragons, the OGL. Mm-hmm. Shadows of Esteron is available in English, but it's no plans yet for their games Dragons to be made in English. What do you think of me introducing you to them today?
I am happy to be introduced to people.
Actually, I can pretend I will be on the side that I'm not involved. I give you this little equipment, and you can interview them and ask them questions about.
Okay, that. we could do that, maybe, yeah.
Okay, let's do that then.
Okay.
And this interview by Kat Tulip of Nellyanne from Agathe Edition, publisher of Shadows of Esteron, and their brand new Dragon, their OGL take on Dungeons & Dragons 5, will be soon available on the Pocket Mimic podcast, and I recommend you check it out. This episode included Dragons by Brock Berrigan, Not Drunk by Joe Drops, and of course our theme song Solta o Frango by Bandedoro. All these songs are available for download on the Free Music Archive. This episode also included Rody Tavern, one of the many soundscapes available on AG's page on YouTube, Sword Coast Soundscapes. The Rollist Podcast is a proud member of the RPG Academy Network, which is the home of many excellent shows, including Game Closet by Riverhouse Games, a show dedicated to cool, queer, and LGBT plus tabletop gamers. Sorry, Minka, in this episode, I was running all over the place at Dragon Meet this year, and I feel like your own little interview was a bit cut short. Well, if you're listening to this, feel free to reach me out. I would really like to have you for an episode and an extended interview. Listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting it via Patreon. As a reminder, there's a complete bonus show now available there. We released the 5th episode of Café Rollist, which is your caffeinated tabletop RPG coffee break. We record once in a while during our lunchtime with Akadosh. But also on this last occasion, we were joined by Persephilia, and together the three of us discussed what are our good tabletop RPG resolutions for 2018. And I feel it was quite an interesting conversation. So you might want to head to Patreon, contribute a tiny $1 per month, and get access to that content. If you are not too keen on that or cannot afford to support the show financially, you can still support it by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the Rollist podcast on iTunes, Podchaser, or Stitcher. Finally, if you would like to meet me and other regulars of the show and other roleplayers in London, and you happen to be in London, on January 29th, it's the return in 2018 of the London Drinks and Dice, which is it's just a little drink where you can meet other tabletop RPG fans coming from different clubs of London, from Phoenix Games Club. There's often people from Roleplay Heaven, sometimes London Indie RPG also. And there's myself and other people. It's on Monday evening. It's every last Monday of the month. So this time it's on the January 29. It's starting at 7 and it's taking place at the Tank and Paddle in Minster Court. Not the other ones, because there are other Tank and Paddles. So yeah, you just check London Ludrinks and Dice on Facebook and you will find all the details. And the details should be in the link also in the description of this episode.
Thanks for listening for this first part of our episode dedicated to Dragon Me 2017. I hope you will come back for the second part. And in the meantime, have good games! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto na hora do piriri. Cai em mim, ô travesti.
Vai, Batuque!
Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente!
I think you're okay. Looks like we're okay, fine! If your game only has one or two people on it, I've put you at the bottom of the list. That means anyone left standing here, we can get them into those games. First up, no, Matthew Sanderson. Cool. Apologies for mispronouncing anyone. Ian Sanford, thank you.